This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hello, Charlie.
Good morning, Franklin.
Well, we've got kind of a dark
gray day. It felt like it was 6 in the morning, but it's actually 8.
Dark and dank, says Frank. Silly Billy. Anyway, here we are. I brought a bottle of booze.
Oh, my goodness. Pull it out, baby.
Well, yeah. It was given to me by Siva, one of our regular callers.
Thank you,
who
Siva.
Came to the Zoomer show last Sunday. Mm-hmm. Shirley and I went out there and we're manning the booth from 11 to 2. And all of a sudden, Siva says, hello, and gave me a bottle of
cider,
hard cider, apparently. Right. Now, what I didn't realize, and of course, in the bag, nice little bag and everything, there was tissue paper covering the top of it and so forth, so on. But I left it in my car because I know me. I'll take it out of the car and then forget to bring it in to show you.
I know. You sent me an email. Don't forget to remind me.
That's right. So I bring the bottle of hard cider in, and wouldn't you know, when I took the tissue out, you need a corkscrew. We've been all over this station.
Searching from stem high to gudgeon, and low.
And we don't have a corkscrew.
So, Siva, we're going to have to hold on for that special tasting. Thank you for thinking about this, though.
I brought wine glasses from the kitchen.
I know.
And all set
swanky.
To get right into it.
Yep, I know.
Maybe it's just as well.
I was going to say, maybe there's a message there.
Yes.
Frank and Charlie, don't get too silly today.
Lord knows we get silly enough without the hard cider. Anyway, my friends, here it is, The Garden Show, and Charlie Dobbin is here to hopefully answer all your questions.
Hopefully. We like that word. Hopefully, yes.
Yeah. Phone number here in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Then anywhere in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. If by chance you're a first-time caller, please let Jordan, who's manning the controls today, know, and he will inform me. And just before you get to the air, you'll get your garden wings,
and that's the best.
Yeah.
Because with garden wings, you can get a whole different perspective on your garden.
Oh, heavens to Betsy, yes.
And that's partly what it's all about.
Yeah. And, our little mantra goes this way: call early, call often, one question per call. You know, the last couple of weeks, folks have been sliding that second one in there.
I know. Yeah. What is that about the season?
Patrolman Proctor, my motorcycle's been out of action, so
yeah, you're going to have to get that siren warmed up, my friend.
Exactly.
So, yes, one question per caller, but you can always call back. And, and it's really just to keep things moving, so nobody has to sit on hold for 20 minutes or longer.
Exactly.
I will give you an update if we get a chance through the show, just to give you an update on sort of what's going on in my landscape.
Oh, yeah.
My so-to-speak landscape. I'm using that term very loosely at my new home. After the big wind, there's some impact from that as well. But I do want to just mention, don't forget, we're going to gain an hour. My favorite day of the whole year.
Oh, I know.
A 25-hour day. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Love it. yes, also we'll talk about the fact that you're not here next week, and Sean James is here, so I want to talk a little bit about who is Sean, and he's been here before, but why you should definitely want to listen in next week.
All right.
I don't have any, nobody's sending me things about stuff going on. You know, there's stuff going on. You can always check the Horticultural Societies of Ontario, which is, I can look that up. I think it's hortsociety.org or ontariohort.org, something like that. All the hort societies are listed alphabetically. Okay. So anything in your local neighborhood, perfect time of year to join a group because, you know, we're not out in our gardens. We tend to cocoon ourselves in the winter. We don't even talk to our neighbors because we just, you know, get out of our cars and, lock the door behind us. So good time to, you know, make that effort if, you know, find that community that is like-minded. And of course, hort societies are so welcoming to everybody, novice to expert. Generally, you're just going to be find a bunch of good friends.
Well, within the first couple of minutes of the show opening, I see we have a jammed line here, or lines,
good,
plural. And so we have to take our first little break and then come back and say hi to Dawn in Toronto, just around the corner maybe. You never know. Stay with us here. It's The Garden Show, and we're on the air.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty.
Oh, you know what? I just found something.
Oh.
Stop. Hold everything.
Stop. Press,
I do have buried in my bag my papers here. One quick announcement. Riverdale Hort Society, November the 13th. So that would be a Wednesday. November 13th coming up. Meeting with Flower Show, so that's nice. Nice time of year for some flowers indoors. The speaker is Wolfgang Bonham, and we've mentioned his name before. He's quite an interesting character, and he's speaking on Gardens of British Columbia. So also the yearbook photo cover competition is on, 7 o'clock in the evening. The group meets at 816 Logan Avenue, which is Frankland Community Center. So Logan and Danforth.
Picked up the worm castings, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I remember it well.
They do their worm castings as their fundraiser every spring. They're a clever bunch.
All righty. Dawn, thank you for being patient and hanging on the line there just around the corner here in Toronto. Dawn, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank. How are you?
Good morning. Excellent.
Yeah, I'm just around the corner, 15 minutes up on Dufferin Street.
Oh, well, you are indeed just around the corner.
Yeah, I'm just wondering about my lawn. It's all nice and green, but in one patch, it's turned yellow.
Okay, is it possible that a dog has been peeing there?
Well, it's like 4 feet by 4 feet.
Oh, that'd
big
be a
dog.
Big dog.
St. Bernard.
It's a party of dogs. Yeah. Okay, so when did you notice that patch that's for now 4 feet by 4 feet? Did you notice it a month or two ago or a couple weeks ago?
No, about a week and a half ago.
Okay, because what I would suggest you do is go out before it rains and just tug on a couple of those yellow or, you know, orange blades of grass and see if they just come right up without any roots attached. So they're just literally blades of grass sitting on the surface of the soil. Roots have disappeared.
Okay.
And that is likely what has happened. It's likely that grub eggs were laid midsummer, and then those grub eggs hatched mid-August, and they once those little eggs hatched, they were little tiny, tiny grubs who proceeded to chew the roots of the lawn. And so it's you got to really be vigilant. It'll start, if you're really vigilant, you'll notice a loony, toony-sized yellow patch, which could be the one dog that peed. But then you keep an eye, and you know, a week later, it's now doubled in size, and it quadruples in size, and that patch gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the tug test is the best. If you do have grubs there, it
too
probably
late now to deal with
is
it with nematodes.
Too late that, for nematodes. Yeah. But you know what? I'm going to double check that because one of my students asked me that yesterday too. Can I still use nematodes? It's one of those things. I'm going to double check, but I'd be inclined to try. Like better,
what the heck? Yeah.
Yeah, better to try because the nematodes are effective, and they will not be nearly as effective in the spring.
And it has to be wet.
And it's perfect. Look, we've had lots of rain.
Yeah, you're right.
Soil is nice and moist. It's just a matter of getting a hold of the nematodes, mixing them up with some water, watering can all around that patch. So just leave that with me, Dawn, and keep listening, and I'll see if I can just get a definitive answer. Otherwise, it's just wait. Next year, it'll be worse. Encourage the raccoons, the skunks, the starlings. Everybody will come and eat the grubs next spring, and then you'll fix your lawn in May, late May, early June.
Okay, and before I go, can you just tell me, is it too late to cut the lawn?
No, of course not.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I don't recommend cutting when lawns are wet, though.
No.
Wait till they dry.
Yeah. Okay, you have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dawn.
Right.
Thank you for joining us here on
thanks for calling.
A Saturday morning as we wend our way through.
When it's hard to imagine jumping out into the garden.
Yeah.
Like you say, dank. It's a bit on the dank side.
Dank, says Frank.
Okay. It's not like really exciting to think about grabbing those pruners and going outside.
That's right. Salsa in Toronto, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
How are you both?
Good.
Excellent. And you?
Wonderful. Well, I have a question for you, Charlie and Frank. I received a potted plant for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So all four plants are in this, I think it's a terracotta, but it's got a kind of, it's not brown, but no kind of pink, but there's no drainage.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
So there's a bromelia, there's croton, calalentio, and ivy with moss.
Oh my, nice.
How do I take care of this plant? There's no soil in it.
Okay, so that's a great question. Somebody was kind enough to think about you and picked up a gift, what we call a gift planter.
Yes, gifted plant, yes.
So it's very pretty. It's usually a low saucer with multi-plants planted into the pot. And as you point out, rarely has drainage because the idea is that it's just super simple to put it on your windowsill or your coffee table and enjoy. Mm. Ultimately, though, those plants will never truly be happy altogether. And as you note, without drainage, they'll never truly thrive.
Right.
So what you need is four separate pots.
Uh-huh.
Or you could maybe get away with three separate pots. I'd be moving the bromeliad into its own pot.
Yes.
And remember, bromeliads, we water in the top of the plant. It's got a cup shape to the plant.
Yes.
So you don't need a big pot. You can just get a little clay terracotta pot. Plant that one. So newspaper out on the dining room table. Tilt the whole gift planter on its side. Slowly kind of pull and push and ooze everything out onto the newspaper. And unless it's been planted up for a very long time, the four plants will fall apart. If they've been together for months and months, then they'll be a little bit more tangled up with the roots. But again, you can very gently kind of, bring them apart with a little bit of shaking and just a little bit of movement. The roots will let go. Four separate plants. Bromeliad in its own pot. Well-drained soil. Terracotta is perfect. Mm-hmm. I'd be inclined to put the croton and the ivy together, and they, again, could go into just a regular green plastic grower's pot, and then that sits into a prettier overpot.
Okay.
And even the calancho. The calancho, I always think of them as a fairly short-term plant. They bloom like crazy. We love them, but they don't continue to bloom like crazy forever. They get very leggy eventually.
Right.
So I'd be inclined to set that one on its own, keep that in a nice sunny window ledge, enjoy the flowers while you've got them, but eventually you're going to end up cutting away the dead flowers. It's not going to look that great as a plant. So you could keep it and, take it outside next spring, or you could just get frustrated and compost it by about February.
I've already trimmed the dead flowers.
More will come for a little while. Just make sure it gets lots of sun, and it's a succulent. You can tell by its leaves. It's got those thick leaves.
Yes.
So only water when dry.
Okay.
Okay.
The pot that has come in, it looks a pretty high pot, but I was wondering why they have put moss, because it's not like,
it's like a mulch when they put the moss, and it's decorative. They've just done that for decorative. They could have put colored gravel. There's various things. The moss is just to again, make it just pretty. Pull out that moss off. I think you'll find it's just sitting on the surface. It's not actually growing there.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Elsa.
Take care, both of you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
You have a nice weekend,
too.
It's
all gloomy out there. I don't want to go out there because I have breathing problems.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but it's a great day to be inside doing some indoor plant care like you are. So good idea.
Good for you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Alrighty, we have to take another break here and and you see me reaching for the bell.
Oh, yes.
That's a good indication that we've got a first-time caller on the line. Norm in North York, we're going to get you on the air momentarily. Hang tight, be back in a mo.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, phlox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, here we go. Frankie grabs the bell. That's for Norm in North York, first-time caller. Good morning, Norm.
Morning, folks. I just wanted to ask a question. There's a bit of a difference of opinion in the household.
Uh-oh.
About raking leaves in the backyard or not raking leaves in the backyard. It's not a big yard. There's a big maple tree about 40 feet tall, so not a lot grows underneath
perfect.
It. So where do I go?
The maple leaves are the best for the garden. Have you got gardens in the back or front yard?
a bit of a garden in the back and a couple of side gardens with just pretty things that don't need much maintenance, but there's not much shade or sun.
Okay, so here's what I would do. Maple leaves are big, and when they fall to the ground, they suffocate anything that's growing below them over the winter.
My experience in the past, yes.
Yeah, so that's why I never leave maple leaves untouched lying flat on a lawn. In 2 weeks, you can kill a lawn with maple leaves.
I did that by accident a few years ago. I thought it was a great idea, but it wasn't.
It wasn't, yeah. So what I would do is, you have two options. If you just want to bag up these, you know, rake bag and put them to the end of the curb, you can, the leaves. But what I would do if I lived at your house, I would rake all those leaves. You have a lawnmower. I would put the bag on the lawnmower. I'd make my pile of leaves when they're dry. They're too wet right now, but still rake them off the lawn. Just put them somewhere on a walkway somewhere, somewhere, a patio for now, so that they're not sitting on the lawn, suffocating the lawn as we're waiting for some drier weather. Then you get out your lawnmower with the bag on, you roll the lawnmower over your pile of leaves, and lawnmower will chop up those big maple leaves into quarter-sized chunks. Now we've got quarter-sized chunks of maple leaves, which are wonderful. We dump them from the bag on the surface of our gardens. And I'll go as much as 4 inches deep with chopped up maple leaves on every garden on the property.
Wow.
And you would not believe the quality of soil I left behind at my home that I sold in Richmond Hill after 20 years of inches and inches of leaves, maple leaves
on
the soil.
Once that decomposes, boy.
Wonderful.
I'm just curious, would you have to put fresh soil, should we say, on top of the garden in the spring to help those chopped up leaves move along?
If you feed them, they will come. So the worms will be there, the microorganisms, all kinds of things that you can't see are going to be chewing up those leaves. And the most fun part, if you get quiet, like at 2 a.m. when it's all quiet in your neighborhood, step outside and you will hear the worms munching the leaves.
No kidding.
You will hear...
Yes, I've noticed that at night. At nighttime, when I'm out there, what's that noise? What's that noise? And I'm looking around. There's nothing around. And then I look down and I can bend down. And dinner time.
Yeah, and you'll see the leaves are moving a tiny bit. And you think, oh, it must be a mouse or something. And then you look more closely and realize, actually, no, those are worms pulling those leaves down under the ground. And you can hear it. And people think I'm nuts when I say it, but it's absolutely true. So,
I don't think you're nuts because I've heard it myself.
There you go. Good. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Norm.
Thank you much for your help, folks.
You're very welcome.
Okay, have a good one.
Don't be a stranger.
That. Yeah.
Hey, quick question. Sorry, quick going backwards.
Yep.
Don called about maybe he's got grubs. Hopefully he's been out and he's checked whether he's got grubs or not. If you aren't currently sitting on a package of nematodes, Don, I probably wouldn't go out and buy them because they're pretty expensive and it is a bit late in the season. If you had a soil thermometer, 10 degrees soil temperature, you could put the nematodes down on and perhaps be somewhat successful. But the main thing you definitely can do now and in the spring is top dress and overseed. So get out your rake, rake out that dead stuff. If it's the whole patch, the 4x4 patch is all yellow and dead, rake it all out. Get out that top dressing. So some good quality lawn soil, topsoil, triple mix, one of those. Get out some grass seed, get that down on light, nice light raking. And because if you don't rake it, the birds will take the seeds and they will grow and hopefully you'll outwit the grubs if there are grubs there. You're trying to get ahead of them and keep that lawn as thick and lush as you can and you have far fewer weeds move in next spring.
Very good. Okay. Out to Scarborough we scamper. There's Elizabeth. Good morning,
You
Elizabeth.
Might be scampering.
Oh, good morning. I have a question about amaryllis. I have three of them that I brought them in from outside. Well, actually, one was in an enclosed balcony with the sun shining, and it looks beautiful. But anyway, do I water them? Do I put them in the dark? Do I leave them alone? What's the recipe for?
Okay, so you have two options. One is keep them going as houseplants. So the one that was out, like you said, on the beautiful sun porch, full of green, gorgeous leaves. Now inside, because of course, tropical plants, so it can't stay out in the frost. And you can keep it as a houseplant. I mean, you keep it in a sunny window, water as necessary. It will flower sporadically, on and off, when you least expect it.
Really? Okay.
But most people want their amaryllis blooming for Christmas.
Well, so, it's too late now, isn't it?
It's early November. It's cutting it pretty close.
Yeah.
Because the way to get them, to sort of force the flowers to happen, even for January, is stop watering all your amaryllis immediately.
Okay.
Put them in the dark if you wish, if that's easy to do. I mean,
yes.
I've currently got mine all just sitting in the garage. I haven't watered them in 2 weeks.
But it wouldn't be too cold in the garage in the winter?
Oh, no. They won't stay there forever. They're going to stay there for now because it's an easy way to just force them to go dormant.
Okay.
It's cool. It's dark, reasonably dark, and I'm not watering them, so I'm just ignoring them in the garage.
Yes.
You can stick them down the basement, you know, just stick them somewhere where you forget about them is the main thing. Let those green leaves, they will slowly turn yellow.
Yeah.
Takes a few weeks. Then you'll trim that all off. Now you'll just have the bulbs in the pots.
Yes.
And those need to sit for about 6 weeks or so, just alone, left alone, water, no care at all. And then mark on your calendar, bring them out, put them in that sunny windowsill. One watering, thorough watering, and they should start to sprout. They will start to grow again. You're just going to force them to go dormant by stopping watering.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. But the one that is sitting in the enclosed balcony with the sun shining, I mean, it looked gorgeous, had lovely green leaves. Mm. So if it continues that, it will eventually flower,
it will.
Think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It will. I know people have kept amaryllis growing as houseplants for years.
Yes.
Never having them go dormant. And of course, it's great. If it's in a big pot, it's cool because you'll end up with little baby bulbs growing off of the mother bulbs, and it becomes quite a large pot. And like I say, you'll just sporadically throughout the year get flowers when you least expect it.
Oh, now this one that does have the lovely green leaves. It really looks pot bound. I know you only put the earth up about halfway, but should it be in a bigger pot with the earth, like tops or, soil just halfway up?
Well, you're right about the depth of the soil. You do want the bulbs sticking out like that. But I know they look like they're so uncomfortable and so pot bound, but that's exactly the way they want to be.
Okay.
You'll get your best flowering if you leave them all mushed together in a pot that looks too small.
Okay.
Thank you,
Liz. Watering and perhaps mid-January would be okay to bring them out and start watering.
Exactly. So first thing is get them dormant, and once they're dormant, then 6 to 8 weeks, no care at all, and then wake up time and have your socks blown off.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Joining us here on a dark and dank.
All right. Stop
Saturday.
Saying dank.
Yeah, we got a little sunshine
dank.
Going here.
I know.
Oh, hey, here's a little sunshine. Wait a minute. Let me reach for that bell one more time.
Here
we go. That is for Sharon in Leslieville. First time caller. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. Great. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I have a question for you about a plant, a Dracocyntho plant. I think it's one of the Dracaenia.
Dracaena, yep.
And we just brought it. I mean, we've had a bit of trouble trying to get it grow and have green leaves. So every now and then there'll be these yellow leaves. And I'm wondering how to take care of it indoors during the winter. What amount of light and what amount of water it needs.
Has it been outside all summer?
No, actually. It's been more... Actually, it has been outside for at least a month or two in the summer.
Okay. And it was in a shady spot outside?
Yeah, it wasn't in full sun.
Okay, that's good. All right. So a Dracaena or a dragon tree, it's often referred to. It's a tall, narrow plant. It's got long, narrow leaves. They come with different colors. The very traditional one is green leaf with a red margin on the edges of the green leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's called Dracaena marginata, because it's referring to that red margin. Generally speaking, a very easy, low-maintenance plant. Their demands are not huge. This plant does not need direct sunlight, but it does prefer a bright spot. So if you have a room that faces west or south, even north, you would put it right in the window. But if it was a southern or western room, you could be 5 or 10 feet away from the window, as long as it's a bright spot. The plant will very naturally and normally lose lower leaves on occasion. So they'll start to turn yellow, and these are ones on the trunk at the lowest part of the plant. And to lose those are just older leaves. They drop. It happens. Your growing tip is up at the top, and that growing tip should be green and fresh and perky and new growth. Like slowly but surely, that plant just gets taller and taller and taller. Eventually it hits your ceiling, and then you have to decide whether to move or raise the roof or lower the floor. But either way, it will just keep going until it hits the ceiling. Now watering, if it's a fairly big plant, which I assume it probably is, that can be the tricky part, is how often to water, because you can't really tell. It's dry on the surface, but it might be very moist below. Right. So what I would do if I were you is go to my local, you're in Leslieville, so you've got East End Garden Center close
by. That's right, yeah.
Go there. They will have something called a moisture meter.
Okay.
And a moisture meter is just a probe. You stick it into the soil. It goes down, a foot, a little bit, or a bit more, so 20, 25 centimeters into the potting soil, right down. And the meter shows you wet, dry, and in between. And that gives you a measurement of how much moisture is available down deep in the pot. And of course, the plant will, you want it to go to the dry side. If it's showing moderately wet or wet, you do not water. And so depending on the temperature, the size of the pot, the amount of light it's in, all those things, you could be watering once every 10 days or 2 weeks, or you could be watering every month or two. It just really comes down to size of pot and temperature. Okay.
Okay, great. I also just wanted to give a shout out. I happen to be James Dooley's fiance. And,
my buddy James Patrick Dooley.
Hello. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hi, James. Good
haven't talked
to you
in ages.
Man.
Love the show. Love the show. It's fun calling in.
Oh cool. Well, you guys just don't hesitate to call anytime. When are you getting married?
Well, 2020. We haven't picked a date yet, but 2020 for sure.
I'll be waiting for that invitation.
Well, if he hadn't been contemplating the question before, certainly is now. Thank you very much for doing that publicly, Charlie. My poor buddy James.
Poor buddy James. I don't think so.
Great stuff.
We miss you, James.
Exactly.
Likewise. Miss you guys too. Great show.
Thanks.
Thanks, love. How about that? That was old.
Thanks, hey, Sharon. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah,
definitely.
Coffee's always on.
Thank you. What was it? Oh, yeah. We are. Oh, gosh. Okay. As we say goodbye, there's a Sharon.
Evelyn.
That leaves the line open.
Oh, it does. You're right.
Yeah. And Evelyn is coming up in a moment. We do have to take another break, though. That's what I'm getting to here. So, good time to call, though, because we have a line or two open at in Toronto, 416-360-0740, and then anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Back in a moment.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, Charlie, you know, we've just been noticing something here, particularly with this morning. This is the most Toronto-centric show we've ever had.
A lot of gardeners in Toronto this weekend.
But, you know, normally it's you're into the hinterland, but almost every call, Toronto. So we just got to thinking, gee, if you're calling in, would you please let us know how you are listening to us, whether on AM 740 or certainly in the downtown area, 96.7 FM?
Or are you listening on your computer? Because we are live streamed on the computer as well.
There you go.
So you get to hear and see.
Yeah. Ooh, hi. Okay. With that said, let's move along. Evelyn in Toronto, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call. And I think I see a glimmer of sun.
Oh, good news.
Thank you.
So I'm also up here in North York, and I've called in before about a hibiscus, which for some reason didn't bloom for, I would say, 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
And this year, fabulously, it is blooming. We can't quite believe it. It has a number of blooms and flowers, so that's great. My question is, some of the leaves are beginning to turn yellow, and one of the blooms is sort of at the end of a branch that really has no leaves. Only near the top, and wondering after these blooms fall off, could I trim?
I would. Yeah, I would, because it just looks scraggly. And at this time of year, the light levels are so much lower inside your home than outside your home. The growth is super slowed down. The yellow leaves are very normal. The plant has to grow new leaves inside. By doing that cutting back post-flowering, then that encourages new growth, encourages those new green leaves to grow. So the plant ultimately looks better. So definitely a good idea. It's always a bit of a challenge because we don't want to cut off the flowers. But once the flowers appear to be done, the buds are, there's no buds evident, I would cut back. But you may find it's going to take you all winter to slowly but surely cut this plant back one branch at a time because you want it nice and dense and compact before spring starts.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's great. Okay. And I haven't been taking it outside the past couple of years because there was some infestation. So I thought I'll just keep it in. And, so I think there's hope for it.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And sometimes, yeah, people do just keep them indoors. Make sure it's in the sunniest location. Remember to rotate the plant 180 degrees every week or so. And if you've got a mister or a spritzer, do that during the winter because that will help keep the humidity up around the plant. They are very susceptible to white fly and spider mite in the dead days of winter when we've got our hot air furnaces blowing all that dry air all over the place. So nice idea. If anything you can do to keep the humidity high around your hibiscus, the happier it will be.
Okay. Oh, that's great to know. And then just tepid water for spritzing
Yeah, for spritzing and for watering.
Okay. Oh, that's wonderful. And watering, the soil doesn't have...
Evelyn.
Oh, sorry, bye.
We're moving on to the MOV lane, multiple question lane there.
Yeah, no.
And we have
but
to kind of...
related to the same topic that I understand.
Any further questions, you got to call again, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Patrolman Proctor finally had to get in there and pull somebody over.
I know. We're going to do the textbook on hibiscus care.
Ed in Toronto, good morning and welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning. How are you today?
Good.
Excellent. Good morning.
I have a question. I bought some soil at Home Depot. I don't know if I should mention. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
To redo my hibiscus, oddly enough, and also I have a couple other plants in the house. When I brought the plants in the house, I had tons of black flies around the pot at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
This is obviously from the soil.
Tell me something. Was this potting soil that you bought?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Just wanted to make sure.
Right. Is there anything I can do to kill? I've sprayed with Raid. I don't want to kill the plant, I got tons of these black flies.
Okay, here's what you're going to do. What you have flying around, they look like fruit flies, but they aren't. They're called fungus gnats. So G-N-A-T. So they're fungus gnats. These are little tiny flies that are eating fungus in your soil.
Right.
Oh my goodness. Who would think there was fungus in the soil? But there is. So here's how you're going to lower the population of fungus gnats and ultimately eliminate them. You're going to go back to Home Depot or wherever and buy something called sticky sticks. Sticky sticks are made by a company named Safers. Sticky sticks is the word sticky and then S-T-I-X. In the little box, there are plastic sticks and yellow sticky paper. And you're going to set up the little yellow sticky paper on the little plastic sticks and you're going to put those in the potted plants, sticking up out of the soil, not touching the leaves. And you will find those little gnats are very attracted to that bright yellow sticky stuff. And it's like flypaper. So they're attracted, they fly towards it, and then they get stuck in it and they die. Excellent, because that way they're not out there laying eggs back in the soil. So slowly but surely, you're going to lower the population by killing off the adults who will fly into the sticky stuff. But you're also going to cut back on your watering. You're going to be paying more attention to watering thoroughly, but rarely. That way, plants will dry out more between waterings, and that way you'll have less fungus in the soil. So less to eat, fewer adults laying eggs, and within 4 to 6 weeks, all the gnats are done. Gone. No more Raid required.
Okay.
So put away the Raid.
I'll put it away.
Okay. Yeah. And the watering is part of it. I find people have a tendency, bigger plants particularly, we have a tendency to kind of keep adding half a cup of water every week on principle. So we end up with not really knowing what the water content is in our pots. It feels a little dry on the top, so we put a little water. So avoid doing that. And again, going back to, the call that we had from was it Shannon asking about, the whole idea of, get that moisture meter for the bigger plants. Get the moisture meter. You have a much better understanding of what the water requirements are and how much water and how often. And we want less fungus in your soil, but it's natural. It's totally natural to have some fungus in the soil. But if you keep it moist all the time, you'll have way too much fungus.
Okay.
Okay. I was actually thinking of taking the soil back, but this doesn't make sense. I assume all the soils would have this.
Yeah.
Part of it.
If you take it back, they're just going to, I mean, they'll probably give you your whatever, $6.99 back, but they're just going to look at you and say, well, you know, like it's your fault anyway. Like it's, you know, it's not our fault. So, and it's just a lot of work to unpot, repot, and it's stressful.
It is
stressful on plants to transplant. So I would avoid doing that now if you can and do your transplanting in the spring if you're going to change the soil. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, thanks for joining us, Ed.
Thanks for calling, Ed.
Have a good weekend and keep it tuned right here, Zoomer Radio, AM 740, 96.7 FM. Just had a thought. Yes. If we have to take a little bit of a break here, but for future reference, if you happen to be tuned to the FM 96.7 FM, kind of let us know when you call in. It'd just be interesting to keep
Because we're doing bar graphs on where people call from.
Exactly.
And what they're listening to.
we're going to, let's see, scoot to St. Catharines momentarily in a moment here on Garden Show to say hi to Judy here on Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Charlie Dobbin? Yeah,
yes.
I know her.
I know.
Oh, my God, there she is.
I got so many things going on here. I wish I had a third arm. Yes.
Multitasking over there.
Yes.
Judy in St. Catharines, hello and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Judy.
I'm calling in regards to my hibiscus, which I seem to be having a problem with. The actual flowers themselves have little black dots on them, and the actual stem is very sticky.
Oh, interesting.
Could you please tell me what that is?
Well, if you look closely underneath the leaves, you will likely see a white insect.
Okay.
It will have wings and it flies and it's pure white and it's called, strangely enough, white fly. And that's probably what's making the stickiness. If it's not white fly, the only other pest it might be is an aphid. If you never have one aphid, you always have tens of thousands of aphids.
Right.
Aphids are easy to kill. If it is aphids, they don't fly or anything. So it's a soapy, you know, safer soap or a bug be gone. Follow all the instructions. You can annihilate aphids easily. White fly is a little trickier just because they fly.
Is that what the sticky sticks might come into it again there?
Yeah, the sticky sticks, good point. Just the ones that I was mentioning for Ed, the last caller, who has fungus gnats.
Right.
So flying insects can be very attracted to these sticky sticks. Mm-hmm. So not a bad idea. Is the hibiscus flowering right now? Is it covered?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's flowering.
Yeah, you hate to do a lot of pruning. Yeah. But one of the best ways if it is white fly is I get all ready with a garbage bag and my pruners and I cut back the plant because you'll find all those, whether it's aphids or white fly, they are very much congregated on the tips, which is the newest growth, which is the tastiest. So by removing, you know, 4 to 6 inches of the tips of every branch and dropping it into the garbage and closing that garbage bag shut, particularly the white fly, you're removing hundreds of them, if not thousands. Then you still need to spray.
I will give it a try and see what happens.
Look closely, see what you can see.
Okay, thank you so much.
Let us know if you need more help next week. Thanks, Judy.
Have a good day.
You bet.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thanks for tuning us in here. Oh, hey. The bell, Frankie. Come on.
Oh, you're going to get to work
there. There we are. That's for Isabel calling in from Scarborough. Good morning, Isabel.
Good morning.
Morning.
Oh, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I have Scotch heather in a pot.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder where I could buy the soil that they need and the fertilizer, what they need, and because I'm going to plant it outside before the frost comes.
Right. And you're putting it in the ground, right? Or are you in an apartment?
No, I have a house, so I like to put it in the the garden.
You have a spot.
Yes.
Okay, so this is not a particularly tough plant. I guess depending specifically on the variety you might have, does it have a tag in it?
Yes, it does.
Do you have that handy or?
Yes,
The reason I ask is just, it's a lovely plant.
It's gorgeous.
It's got some pretty specific requirements, as you recognize. So you need a spot that's dappled sun and shade.
Mm-hmm.
So none of that hot western sun, if you can avoid it. A northern location can work, where it's getting some morning sun, or, you know, northeast, that kind of thing. So it needs some light, but not hot, hot sun.
Mm-hmm.
It wants very organic soil. So it wants soil that's composed of peat moss, leaf mold, manure. So again, depending on your natural soil, you're going to want to amend to ensure you've got some good quality organic material in there. And then fertilizer, I wouldn't worry about. You'll need that next spring. The fertilizer you're going to use is going to be for acid loving plants. And that, again, that's like a rhododendron food or azalea food. And you can worry about that next spring. For now, the main thing is get it into the soil, like you say, before frost. And while the soil is still reasonably warm, so that some roots can get growing.
Okay.
It's important that when we plant in the fall, we get the plants in the ground in a timely fashion, just so that the roots can get going into that nice warm soil and be ready to go once the soil freezes. Otherwise, the pots, the little plants tend to get forced right up out of the soil as the ground freezes, because their little roots haven't really established into the soil. So get on that if you can today, tomorrow, okay?
Yeah. So they like the morning sun better?
Yep. Eastern is always going to be more, it's going to be preferable for any of the acid-loving evergreens.
Oh, great.
All right. Enjoy that.
Listen on the transistor radio on AM.
Okay.
Hey, there you go.
Thanks
thank
for letting
you.
Us know.
Oh, thank you very much for your help.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Let us know how that works out.
Please.
So I hate Frank, just so everybody knows. I want to say that publicly. You know, it's out there now in the stratosphere. I hate Frank because he is going where?
Florida.
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 When are you going to Florida?
Actually,
tomorrow.
It's one of those 24-hour clock things, 14:45.
And you're gaining an hour, so don't get all messed up on that. You're going to have to sit with a calculator and figure out.
4:00 to 3:00 tomorrow aboard the plane.
Which is really going to be 4:45 tomorrow.
No.
It's going to be quarter
to
2.
My clock will be changed by then. Stop that. Stop that. You're getting me all confused. And then I'm going down. Shirley's down there already at a favorite spot we go to. And I'll be down there for 12 days, which is lovely.
Wow.
Oh,
that hates you 12 times over. I'm kidding.
I'll have a little drinky winky for you.
Oh, do that. Speaking of drinky winky, Siva, thank you so much.
Siva,
we're
going to
hold on to that hard cider until Frank gets back. So in 2 weeks, we'll do an on-air testing of Siva's special cider. And just a reminder that with Frank jetting off with the jet set to the sun and surf and God knows martinis and margaritas, Sean James will be joining me next week.
Oh, that's great. He's a ton of fun.
Many of you remember Sean. He's brilliant. He attended the Niagara Parks School of Horticulture, which, of course, I went to the University of Guelph, so we arm wrestle about which school was better all the time. And he is just a naturalist. Like, he knows so much. So he's lots of fun, and so he'll be here in Frank's stead next week. So thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Charlie.
And thanks, Jordan. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.